Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is Wednesday night. It's preview night. I'm waiting on Richie. Richie's late today, but I didn't want to be late. Richie made us late the other day, so it's just me right now. But thankful that I was on time today. Hey, we're going to get going. I am excited for the game this weekend. Your boy Richie, thank you, Jeremiah, for having the under on me being late today. So, hey, excited for the game this weekend. Excited for the tailgate this weekend. If you are coming to Tallahassee, make sure that you get your tailgate tickets. They're moving pretty good. This is going to be, I mean, this is not going to be like Orlando, but I actually got some pretty good news on a Charlotte tailgate as well. I think that could be a lot of fun. I know it will be a lot of fun. So go get your tickets if you haven't done that. It's FSU, Miami, dfns.eventbrite.com. The link is in the description here. We have a little video here I'll show you from our Orlando tailgate. Harlan's over there sleeping, not putting the tailgate video up. So Richie's late, Harlan's sleeping. Hopefully the team comes out better than this in the on Saturday. But we had a good time in Orlando. Going to have a good time here in Tallahassee this weekend. We'll start the official preview once Richie gets here. He said 703. I'd love to get you guys' over-under on it if he makes. There in Orlando. I've had a good time tailgating with you guys all year. Excited for it. We'll jump right into it. We don't want to hold you guys up. So appreciate you guys for your support. Appreciate you guys for being here. I'd love, as we do this, we'll give our score predictions later in the evening. I'd love to get your score predictions as well. We also may have, if you're watching this on replay or if you're watching it live, we've had a little bit of issue here and there with just some technical difficulties with our
what's up, TJ? I cannot hear you, so let's get these technical difficulties fixed first.
You're talking over it though, so I don't know what to tell you. But we've had some technical difficulties with our software. So if there's some glitches, just bear with us. We're working on it. We're working with customer support, customer service, trying to get that all ironed out. Can you hear me now, Richie, or no? All right, Richie can't hear me, so Harlan, I'll let you talk with him backstage, and I will get started. He's refreshing. Harlan, once he can hear me again, then you can add it back to that scene. But I'll just get rolling. Florida State and Miami. Florida State, a 14 to 14.5 point favorite, depending on your book or where you can bet on it, this weekend against Miami. And I think what's been most interesting to me about Miami is just where they were in the beginning of the year compared to where they are now. And I know they beat some bad teams, but the way that they dominated Texas A&M really did, I don't want to say worry me, but just made me think that that game would be closer than I think we kind of assume it will at this point. And maybe as a warning, maybe as a little bit of a, hey, if Miami gets everything put together and you don't play your A game, they certainly could come out and do some things that surprise you, right? I don't know that Miami would beat Texas A&M if they played each other this weekend. I think A&M's kind of a dumpster fire. I mean, we all like to hate on Jimbo. I get that. But I think they looked fairly good against Ole Miss, and they blew it late, but they even had a chance late to try and make it a game. But I do think that Ole Miss, A&M, kind of made me think that A&M's maybe getting better through the year, but Miami's obviously done the opposite. They've gotten worse and worse as the year has gone along. That said, I think weird things happen in rivalries, and I mean, we'll get to score predictions in a little bit, and I'm going to pick the Noles in this, and I'm going to pick the Noles pretty handily. I'm going to use the next 40, 45 minutes to figure out a score prediction, but I think the Noles win, and I think they win going away. But I think there is a scenario where Miami could do this, and I'm not trying to create suspense or drama or anything else like that. I don't think it's going to happen, but I do think weird things happen in rivalry games. I think that there's a scenario that Florida State struggles They've struggled in games to start the year. They struggled to start the LSU game. They really should have been down a couple of scores at halftime of LSU. Struggled in the first half against Clemson. They struggled in the first half against Duke. They struggled in the first half against Pitt. So I don't think it's impossible. The one thing I do think Mike Norvell does a really, really good job of is having the team ready to go in games like this. You think back to the bigger games that have happened under Mike Norvell, win or loss, really over the last few years. You think about Clemson last year coming into Doak. The team was ready and the team played well. Think about Notre Dame the year before where the team was ready and played well. You think about Florida last year, the team was ready and played well to start. Defense obviously had a few let down, you know, let ups or whatever. But I think that what Norvell does in preparation is has the team pretty ready to go for games like this. And it's what gives me a lot of confidence that we will be ready and be in good shape. And I was watching the On Three channel and I like JD Pickell a lot. I think he does a great job, but I thought it was funny that he even mentioned, well, maybe Miami could keep it close for a quarter. I think that's hilarious. I don't even think he meant it to be as funny as it ended up being, but I did laugh at it. I did think that that was pretty comical, pretty good to see. I think that if we, I feel like we do this every week. We kind of give like grades of where I think the Noles could play and what they could end up, you know, what that would end up looking like. And I truly believe that Florida State could play like their B game and probably win this by a touchdown if Miami played like their A+. Like, I think Miami's A+ game is maybe like 28 points at most. Their A+ game on defense maybe holds us to 28, and then you go to overtime and you see who's a little bit better. I don't know. Like, I think that Florida State would need to play like a C game and Miami play an A game for this to go down. And Florida State certainly had games and times and moments where they played C level football. I don't necessarily think that I'm expecting that this weekend, but I do think that that's a possibility. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts? Do you think it's possible that the Noles could play down? I trust what Mike Norvell does in these rivalry games. I think the focus and the attention that's given to them is so massive. I also just really like the matchups. I think there's obviously a lot of questions around Johnny. There's a lot of questions around Keon Coleman. Are those guys back? Do they play? I don't know. I went on record last week and said some things that didn't end up being true. And so I'm kind of hearing some of the same things this week. And so you hope that they're back. You hope that they're good to go. But we'll see as it gets a little bit closer. We'll see on Saturday, as we're just a couple of days away now. And if they're in there, I really do like the matchups that Florida State has. All right, looks like Eddie's got a super chat, and I've maybe killed enough time to get Richie straightened out here. Whoever had the over on 703 definitely wins, but let's roll.
You a recruit, and you ain't going to Florida State. What you doing?
Here's to the Noles playing as good as chicken fingers dipped in some gut sauce. Richie, welcome. Hey, I've got some news. Speaking of gut sauce, there's a new Guthrie's that is brand new, just opened up. We always shout out 1818 West Tennessee and 2550 North Monroe. There's a new one, 2870 Appalachie Parkway. That's on the east side of where two locations are. This is something for the folks out there near Southwood. It's right there on 27 and what is that? I mean, the corner of 27 and Capital Circle Southeast, right across the street from the Zaxby's because they're not afraid of competition. So they'll just beat their heads in. Kind of close to the hotels, the highway there. So go check out the new location if you're on that side of town. I do get people that sometimes say that they're too far away from Guthrie's to go by there. So no excuses now. Richie, Eddie, thanks for the love. How you doing, Rich?
Good. Apparently I'm an idiot because I had the mic set for my headphone settings and the headphone setting for my mic. And that's why I couldn't hear you and you probably couldn't hear me. So blame me to this week. You know, that's first time in, 10 preview shows that it's been my fault. So, I'll take it like a man, but yeah, man, I'm excited. It's Miami week. I just cannot wait. This is going to be a fun Saturday afternoon.
I'm excited for it, man. There, you kind of let me down a little bit. It had nothing to do with your mic or anything else like that, but you kind of teased us. I don't know if it was on air or not, but you kind of teased us as we were getting off the show on Sunday, like you might be looking at flights or something. And then we got to like Tuesday and you're like, yeah, I'm not doing that. So I'm still a little bit upset with you for that, but what are your plans for the game this weekend?
Yeah, so I'm probably playing golf in the morning and then just coming home to watch the game. May go to American Social. If you live in the Central Florida area, you know, the Greater Club of Seminole Orlando, all proceeds from those games go to Seminole Boosters. So check out Outpost in Maitland, Wall Street in downtown, or American Social in Dr. Phillips. We'll see how I feel after golf. So it's either going to be American Social over in Dr. Phillips or watching the game just from my couch. And you know, there's such a good slate of games all over the country this week. So I don't know, that 3:30 slate's not as great, but still really another good game at 3:30. We'll get into some of the playoff talk in a little bit, but yeah, I'm just excited for this game.
Did I lose you or did you lose me?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, I lost you for a half a second there. I don't know if that was on me or you, but all right, let's jump in.
Probably Harlan, the producer.
It's definitely our software that we're using. All right, let's talk. We started a little bit of Miami. We're going to talk more Miami. But before we do that, college football playoff rankings. We gave some love to Guthrie's. We gave some love to the tailgate. If you're coming out this weekend, certainly get your tickets. I have plenty of Guthrie's out there for you. Some folks felt like FSU might drop. Ultimately didn't. I don't know that it would have really mattered long-term anyway. I think, Richie, I don't know what your take is on this, but I think that people think that just because you're one spot away, that you're really close to that team. And I don't feel that way. I feel like there's a pretty significant gap between 4 and 5 right now. And I'm not saying it's like Florida State has enough room to like lose a game or anything like that. But I think the gap between 4 and 5 is fairly significant. And so that's why Florida State looking like, just okay. And Washington picking up a ranked win against USC didn't matter in the committee's eyes at all.
Is USC a quality of a ranked opponent at this point right now? I think a lot of people struggle to say so. I think Caleb Williams would just point to his defense and say, we don't belong anywhere in the top 50. And you had some really good metrics and stats. Whoa, that you should probably read right now just to show how far away that Washington's schedule is from Florida State's, because you had some pretty good metrics, advanced metrics on Twitter today. And my goodness, just acknowledge Andrew for that.
Go ahead, Harlan. Play a few of them while I look this up.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Nose win.
Put a smile on your face. Okay, because Florida State, if we going to do it then, we do it big. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, Andrew's our winner tonight. I doubt anybody is brave enough to go up there and beat him, but if you want to get into a war with him, I very much.
And I'm hoping the software isn't acting up again.
Yeah, it probably is, but it just is what it is. You just fight through it at this point. But yeah. Andrew was the last time I watched a game with Andrew, the Florida State got a top 5 win and scored 45 points. So I'm excited to watch the game with Andrew again this weekend because we're, the Noles are on a different level when that happens. So, Andrew, appreciate the love. Yeah, Richie was talking about the advanced metrics. Florida State is ahead of Washington in almost all advanced metrics. That includes FPI, the S&P Plus, their strength of records ahead. If the BCS still existed today, Florida State would also be ahead there based on all of the calculations that they use. Florida State's defense is about 50 spots better than Washington's in most advanced metrics. And then Florida State's quarterback. There's so much talk about Michael Penix. A shout out to David Hale, who tweeted today. Penix has one more touchdown than Jordan Travis, but he has 6 more turnovers. Jordan's played 5 games against top 50 defenses, where Penix has played 2. Jordan has a total of 22 less yards. And Jordan also has a 15-1 touchdown to interception ratio against top 5 defenses. Penix has a 12-5 touchdown ratio versus top 5 defenses. So I think that what you have seen is there's a lot of love for Michael Penix because they just put up ridiculous numbers, and Jordan's stuff has been more spread out. Penix has had a couple of stinker games. Jordan really hasn't. Against Pittsburgh, a lot of people miss this, Richie. Jordan had his highest yardage total of the season. That was only 1 yard higher than his previous high, but still had his highest yardage total of the year. And people like to say, oh, Florida State started with Pitt. Yeah, I mean, I guess 17-point road win. I mean, they were favored by more. I get that. But Jordan wasn't his sharpest without his top 2 or 3 weapons. But he still threw for 360 yards and absolutely was crucial in putting some dimes down the field to guys to get that win. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that Florida State and Washington are even close at this point. Now, Washington's got some big games coming up.
Let me jump in here, TJ. Florida State gets a lot of crap, and the committee even announced it on the very first show about the BC game. Like, that was a struggle. Like, was that really a struggle, or was it Florida State started slow, dominated for a long stretch, and BC just almost came back for an upset? You know, to me, that pales in comparison to Washington playing 1-6 Arizona State, their only win against Colorado, and Washington did not score a single offensive touchdown in that game. They won 15-7, and the only touchdown they had was an 89-yard pick six, where if that doesn't happen, that defender drops that ball. Washington loses to Arizona State, who is a much worse team than Boston College, who is bowl eligible after 9 games in the Power 5 conference. So no, these resumes are not the same. The Oregon's a good win, but USC isn't impressive to me anymore. I think Florida State would beat them by 20 plus. So just stop the madness. I think you're right. It's you know, you have your top 3 teams that everybody thinks. I'd take Ohio State out of that and say there's really a top 2 teams. Then you have Ohio State and Florida State next. And then, hell, I'd put Alabama ahead of Washington, but I get why you can't do that in the playoff rankings, because you have to respect wins. Alabama would destroy Washington if they played today.
The rankings are a mix, and that's what people don't necessarily like always comprehend. And that's why it, you know, as much crap as we'll give the committee members, like, it is hard to know the right balance of resume and who's actually a better team, right? Like, Alabama would beat any of these teams we're talking, most of these teams we're talking about, not any of them. I think Alabama would be favored head-to-head on a neutral field with us.
I think they'll be favored against Georgia. The way Milroe's been playing, I mean, Nick Saban might have unlocked a cheat code here with what he has going on with Milroe right now.
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, I also think Georgia would beat LSU by a similar amount. Like, you know, I could be wrong on that. So, like, I don't know. I could see that one going. But, like, I think I'll – so, but, you know, the committee is trying to factor in both resume and – what they think would happen on the field. But yeah, wins and losses do matter. Okay, so I don't know that we agree 100% on this, but you think if we lose a game, we're out. I think that, like, enough chaos could theoretically happen to where that's not the case. But it is unlikely. I'll say that. Like, I think it's unlikely, but it could happen. It could start this week with Michigan losing to Penn State. If Georgia was to drop to a team like Ole Miss, if your Big 12 and your Pac-12 champs both had 2 losses, I think it's possible. I don't think you're 100% eliminated, but I do think it would be tough if the Noles lost a game. What it would come down to is when and where that loss happened. And we'll get into Miami after this, but as much as you don't want it to be, I think that this weekend would probably be the best. I know that stinks to say. This would probably be the best loss to take, in my opinion, because then you'd have 3 weeks to change the committee's mind, and you also, I think, need that conference championship, because getting that conference championship is going to put you ahead of any of the one-loss teams that don't have the conference championship. If you lose to Louisville, I have a tough time seeing you get in. Shoot, Louisville might get in over you. And so I think you really need to beat Louisville at that point. So, Richie, you think if we drop a game, though, are we out? Or, like, thoughts there?
Yeah, I do. To your point, some chaos could happen to where maybe you backdoor into the fourth slot. But I think after the LSU game and then the few weeks after when LSU was just steamrolling everybody, I would have said, yeah, a one-loss Florida State gets in. When you beat Clemson, even with the loss to Duke, you're like, that's still a really good win. That's going to show up well in the resume. Florida State we're not the problem. It's our schedule. What we thought would be a solid, very respectable schedule has let us down entirely. And I think that's what would keep us out, because think about this. If Oklahoma doesn't beat Texas, Florida State's probably fifth right now, and you need a loss ahead of you to have a chance to get in. I just don't know. I think Florida State is a top four team for sure right now. And I think we'll see what happens. Obviously, Miami loss is bad. North Alabama loss is, that's an elimination game entirely. And Florida, they just lost to Arkansas at home, who had two wins heading into that game. In Louisville, you really need them to win every game heading out to even have a chance to get in as a one-loss team, because then they would theoretically be ranked ahead of you. Heading into the ACC championship, you beat them. Maybe chaos happens. You get in. All I'm saying is win these next four games and you don't have to worry about it. There was a lot of talk about Florida State fans thinking, man, if Alabama runs the table and they steamroll number one Georgia, would the committee put a one loss Alabama in over Florida State? No, that's ridiculous. Or an undefeated Florida State. And that is just insane. Because Florida State, if they are 13-0 ACC champs in the Power Five, they are definitely going to the playoff. I don't care who you're talking about, because Texas would be up next instead of Alabama. Are you going to put a 12-1 Alabama over a 12-1 Texas when a 12-1 Texas went into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama by 10 points and the game was never really in doubt? I just think it's ridiculous talk. Florida State controls their own destiny. There's a chance they don't get in with one loss, and I think that chance is very high, but I know they're getting in if it's just one loss, and that's really all I'm looking for, because we'll see what happens. Again, Ohio State will play Michigan in the regular season, and then whoever wins that game will probably play Iowa and win a game 31-7 or something in the Big 12 or Big 10 championship. If Texas loses another game, that opens up a spot for an Alabama to hop in. And I certainly think Alabama's next up. I just don't know. This whole playoff situation, it's going to be ridiculous. But the moral of the story is, if you're Florida State and you want to guarantee your spot in a playoff, win your next four games. I don't care if you win them all by 1 point. I don't care if you beat North Alabama in overtime. A one-loss conference champ is not jumping a 13-0 Florida State conference champ. And there's been a lot of narrative about, there's a lot of SEC bias, the ratings and everything. Cool. You know how many people in the committee have SEC ties? One. All these other conferences are represented on the committee as well, and they don't want to set a bad precedent moving forward. Although, granted, when it's 12 teams, who really cares? But you're not going to put – I don't care if Alabama beats Georgia 63-0 and Florida State beats Louisville in a last-minute field goal. If Florida State's 13-0, they are going to the College Football Playoff.
And you're going to be favored. All right, we'll start some Miami stuff, but you're going to be favored every week by double digits. I've even seen like the early lines of what they think the Louisville, Florida State stuff would be, and it's like 10 or 11. And team, I'm not sleeping on them by any means, but you're going to be favored. I think you're probably a 10 or 12 point favorite at UF right now would kind of be my guess. I'd lean right around 10, just for what it's worth. I don't know. That's a little tough to handicap, because let's see what they look like. If we win the next two and they lose the next two, it might be even more than that. Which, if it's more than 14, I actually kind of like UF to cover there. But
I like UF to lose out though and miss a bowl.
Yeah. No.
Let's get to Miami. But that just a last random thought.
Yeah. All right. So I talked about this a little in the intro, but Miami, Florida State 14.5-point favorite Saturday at 3:30 p.m. We'll come back to that playoff ACC check-in at the end. We kind of talked about it a little bit, but I'll move it to the end and then we'll come back to it so we can get to Miami a little bit. But Let's talk about it. It all comes down to quarterback play. I was talking with Coach Coop earlier, which he does a great job. If you guys missed that, go back on the channel and watch it. But, man, they have so many questions at QB, Richie. And they've got a decent squad outside of it. They've got a good running attack. Their offensive line is really good. Their defensive line is playing well. They've got some good pieces in the secondary. They're not a complete team by any means. But quarterback play is atrocious. And here's what I told Coop. I can't remember a situation. I've seen situations where a fan base wanted one of two quarterbacks to play, like half wanted this guy and half wanted the other. I've never seen a fan base that was split between three quarterbacks at one time. And they were like, no, we got to play this guy. No, we got to play this guy. No, we should play this one. I've never seen that in my life. And I think Van Dyke starts. I think Mario's trying to be cute with this. I think it's dumb, but he's not been good. And
I think Van Dyke is mentally broken. Physically, he's not been overly healthy, but I think he's just mentally broken at this point. You look at, 10 interceptions in his last five games. It's just a bad situation. And it's just such a weird dynamic when you look at that offense that has not been good. You know, their pass protection is elite. Go look at these passes that even when Van Dyke is throwing egregious interceptions, he has a clean pocket. Nobody within, 6 yards of the man. Their run blocking isn't great, and they have really good running backs. So their running game is just average. They're not just blowing people off the ball and running downfield. You don't only score 6 points against NC State if you have a dominant rushing attack. So it's so odd that their rush offense is so bad I don't know if it's so bad, but they have good running backs and they have a really good offensive line, but they can't run the ball at the clip you'd expect them to. They have a dominant passing attack and okay receivers. I'm not buying all the receiver hype. It's just a weird offense. And I think the ACC simply has just figured them out.
Yeah. And I think what helps teams is I think the rushing attack would be good if Van Dyke wasn't such a liability. Like, yeah. Teams don't have to play him honestly. And so, I think the running backs are decent, but they just don't have to, you don't have to respect the threat of the pass, at least not consistently. I wouldn't be shocked if Van Dyke got a couple of nice passes off. It's just a weird rivalry game. You play up, but you don't have to respect it consistently. And that's why they've struggled. I mean, you get the note here. They've lost 3 of their last 5 games. No offense to Hunter, but at NC State, scoring 6 points. Georgia Tech's a terrible loss. Miami's not a bad loss. I mean, Miami's not good. They've lost a couple since then, too. But that's fine. I mean, Miami's got a good offense. But I will say this. I do expect...
UNC, yeah.
I expect Miami to play better this weekend than they have the last few. Like, I think they'll play at least for a quarter or a half. The other thing I don't think they'll quit. I think that's something that's very different between this team and others. Like they've been bad here recently, and they haven't they've played hard, and so they played their sorry little hearts out. Here's the best way to. They're not any good, but at least they try hard. So congratulations, Miami. But yeah, I don't expect last year. I think they quit after the first drive or two. Like it was like, all right, we're out of here. Like this is not going our way. Screw it. Van Dyke was hurt. I expect them to do a little bit better with that this year, but I don't know. What's the...
Yeah, that might be where we differ, TJ, on if they quit or not. I think, does this team believe in Coach Criswell after not taking a knee? They all heard the reports and said, oh, man, that's a game they should have won. They clearly don't believe in Tyler Van Dyke. Here's a guy who spent all offseason showing off his, his new BMW and his life wallet deals and all this good stuff during the offseason. Was he putting in the work? I don't know. I'm not saying he wasn't. Maybe he was. Maybe he's the first guy to show up, first last guy to leave. But, NIL is going to play a role in this. Maybe John Ruiz screwed over some of these players and they're like, man, why are my checks bouncing? I came here only for the money. And those aren't the type of players you want in the locker room anyway, if they're there just for the money. I think this team could quit, and it'll depend on how it looks, right? I'll put it this way. I think if this is a team that could quit and Florida State just blows the doors off, And Mike Norvell will absolutely want to do that, given that recruiting list that's going to be in Tallahassee. But if you let him hang around and it's a, you know, 7-3-point game at halftime, maybe Miami gets an early touchdown in the third quarter, well, now you're in trouble because you have Miami's full attention and you better be prepared to execute at a very high level. Or this is what, you know, we talk about the past few weeks about elimination games in the playoff. TJ, we just talked about a little bit. I think this is a elimination game for Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about like the chaos and stuff and could they get back in it? But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be tough to get in with one loss. Just you're running out of the chaos to happen, right? And, you know, if you were to lose to Miami, is that as good as Alabama's loss to a top 10 Texas? Is that as good as Oregon's loss to a top 10 Washington? And so you're behind those two teams, you know? And so could you climb back into it? Yes, you could. You'd need Georgia to beat Alabama to get them their second loss. You'd need Oregon to drop somewhere along the way. Maybe Washington lose one and then beat. You'd need a lot of stuff to go on, and you probably don't want to be there. So, hey, I am excited for our defense, though. We talked about how Van Dyke is struggling. I am excited to see what Jared Verse, Pat Payton, some of those guys that Miami tried to tamper with this offseason to try and get them down there to Miami, try to see what they look like. You know, Farmer, Payton, some of the other ones there along that defensive line. Yeah. I think that they've got an opportunity to go out and do some really special things. Again, this is an offense that scored 6 points at NC State. I'd like to think that Florida State's defense and atmosphere environment are better than NC State's. Again, no offense, Hunter. But I'm not saying that we hold them to less than six, but I do think Florida State has a really good opportunity to hold the Canes down. If, I don't know, Richie, if Florida State, if Miami was to get to 24, I think that'd be not the win. I don't think they win the game. I think that'd be a good, I think that's a good total points for Miami, 24. I don't think they get there. But even with that, I mean, still don't think they win. Like, you got to like Florida State to score more than 24 on Saturday night, right?
Play clean game and they're in the 30s. But again, rivalry game, I know it's cliche and we shouldn't even think this way, but as college football fans, at least I do, what about a blocked kick, a big kick return, you know, a pick six, a fumble. Mike goes for from his own 3-yard line. You never know what could happen, you know.
We'll see.
But no, I think my number to guarantee a win for Florida State is probably over a 20.5. I think if you get to 21 points, if you're Florida State, you're going to win the game without anything crazy happening. You know, Miami's defense isn't good, but what's the best offense they've played against? You know, Jimbo kind of went off on them down there in Miami over 30 points, I believe. So their defense is good, but have they been tested? And if Florida State has a 85 to 90% healthy Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson, I mean, you're gonna score points on them because Mike is a master play caller. He really is. He's one of the best in the country. I truly believe that. He's going to scheme Florida State open. You know, it might not be pretty at sometimes. We might have, you know, back-to-back three and outs and then a play that goes 14 yards. Or a drive that goes 14 yards. But at the end of the day, he's going to hit those 30, 40, 50-yard plays that set up scoring opportunities. And those are the ones that are just demoralizing if you're a defender for Miami. Like, man, we're doing everything right. And then we keep giving these up every, you know, 10, 12 plays. And here we are down, you know, 20 to 10. And I don't trust this offense or this quarterback to get anything done, especially if it's Tyler Van Dyke.
So, yeah, I'm somewhere around there too. Like, I think if Florida State gets to 24 plus, 25 would probably be my number, then they've probably got it. It's hard for me to envision Miami scoring four touchdowns without some really fluky stuff. I could see four scores. I could see – it's hard to see three touchdowns.
7 years ago.
But I guess I could see that. But, yeah, 25 would be my – would be my number. Like, I'd be pretty surprised if Miami was able to get to 28 in this. I mean, Vegas is pretty significantly under that number as well. So, okay, let's do this. Let's pivot just a little bit. Prize Picks, Pick Six are more or less. Hey, if you guys aren't signed up for Prize Picks, you need to be. There's only a few weeks left in the season. Hey, I cleaned up last week too. They've got an option on there where you can
Yeah, so it's clearly TJ's audio or software, not mine. There he goes. All right, go, TJ.
We're on the same thing. Just let me keep rolling whenever that happens. You do it all the time, too, while you're talking. I just don't interrupt you. I just let it keep going. if it glitches, it glitches. Use our code DFNS when you sign up for Prize Picks. I made money last week on that, too, so hopefully you guys are on there. Before we get into those, I'll tell Richie, yeah, what happens is and everybody else watching too, you can find this out too. When it glitches, you don't see it on your end, but it's usually you that's glitching when that happens. Like, you don't know when it's you. So anyway, yeah, if you see it, then just keep it rolling. And
Harlan, clean this up for the audio version.
No, no chance. don't even worry about it. All right. What's our pick six here?
All right. Let's start with Jordan Travis. 3.5 touchdowns responsible for. So what will include passing, rushing, whatever it may be?
I'll go less here. I think we score and score quite a bit, but I wouldn't be surprised if we spread it around a little bit. Jordan finishes with 2 touchdowns and we run a few in. Harlan's got more. What do you got?
I'll go less too here. And my final score prediction will suggest that. Tyler Van Dyke, 1.5 turnovers. He's been a turnover machine, not just interceptions, but fumbles. I really want to go more just because I don't know if he's going to start, how much he'll play. I guess I'll go more and say he doesn't finish the game.
Yeah, Harlan's got more as well. I got less. I think he'll be super conservative, super cautious with the ball. I think Florida State will get out to goes down, but I'll go less on this one. I'd say he gets 1. But I'd say he is ultra conservative with the ball. They run the ball a ton, make it really, really boring on their end, and I've got less there.
All right.
So Harlan's got more as well. I don't know if I said that or not.
So Florida State, 99.5 rushing yards. You know, this is where it's interesting because I think Florida State is going to have to throw the ball more than they probably want to. Can they get to Jordan Travis? That's a really hard thing to do because sacks do count against rush yards in college, which makes no sense at all. But I'm actually going to take the more then. Maybe they just run the counter 35 times again and double that number. But I think that's going to be a tough number to get to this weekend. But I'll take the more.
I'll go more as well. Harlan's got more here. I wouldn't be shocked at all if a big run late gets him over this. So I'll go more here.
TJ called him the Chris Thompson 2010 90-yard run. Love it. Miami 129.5. They have a great offensive line, but they haven't really been able to get the rushing attack going. Let me just start this off by saying, do I need to lower this number? Are either of you taking the over?
More, Ron, say over
or more.
Harlan's saying more, so go ahead.
I'll take less.
I'll go more. I think they are going to run the ball. I think they could be down by a ton and still be running the ball quite a bit. So I'll go more here.
All right. This is kind of a joke on last week, but it is Miami, so we have to do it. Knees taken 1.5, and this is for the entire game. So keep in mind the first half. I think Mario would down the ball, if he gets the ball back with 30-something seconds left. So something to think about.
I'll go more on this one. I could certainly see a scenario where we kneel the ball not only in the first half but also a couple of times on the last drive. So I'll play my percentages here and say more. Harlan's got more as well. And then what do you got, Richie? And then we'll go to Hunter.
Let me go less, but I made the joke on Twitter. He would never do it. If Lane Kiffin was our head coach this week, man, just take a knee on the first play of the game. How hilarious would that be?
I'll take it. Hunter.
Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Hunter. All right, what's next?
All right, our last one of the week. We are looking at TV viewers because this has been a hot topic, and I do think this will be a hot topic in the spring again when we have the ACC meetings in Amelia Island. I put 4.3 million viewers. Now, I've did some research on this, so this is a very well set number in my opinion, but I'll let you two go first because, like I said, I did my homework.
Arlen says Harlan says more. I've looked at these numbers in the past, and I don't feel super confident on picking one way or the other, just until I look at something real quick. So this is just going to be bad radio until I look at it. So
I'll go ahead and go then.
Yeah, I'll go less.
Yeah, I was going to say less as well, just because if you look at Miami's numbers on ABC, no matter the time slot, outside of that Notre Dame game in 2017 or whatever it was when the playoff talks were serious, Miami just doesn't draw TV numbers. They really don't, not compared to the elite. I think Florida State could push them over that. They're up against a good game in Washington. I believe that's the Washington game. And I'm going to go a little less, but it's sad because this should be the premier game of the week. Even Bud Elliott had it as his second rated game in the time slot. And that's a Florida State grad for you.
Yeah. I hate to just do this and totally ruin it for Harlan, but he's the one that picked it. Florida, Georgia got Florida, Georgia got like 6 million. Alabama, LSU was really big and got like 8 million. I just think it's going to be a lot less, you know, like
I'm thinking 3.1 ish.
Yeah, I'd love to be wrong there, though. But I also don't think the game's going to be competitive super late. And so I think you'll lose viewers. You know, you'll have less people tuning in late to see a good game, stuff like that. So I'll go less on that one.
TJ, you know how people say life's too short to bet the less?
I know the phrase, yeah.
Harlan went more on every single pick. Love it.
Harlan's a goat, man. He's also taking Miami, though, when we do our score predictions. So I'm going to give him a hard time for that.
For a good reason. That's all right.
All right, ACC championship. Obviously, Florida State's clinched. Louisville would need a lot of things to go wrong for them to not make it. So let's just assume it's Louisville unless, like, the craziest streak of stuff happens down the stretch. Really, really early look ahead to Louisville. Are you worried there, or are your thoughts around that game?
So I plan to watch them Thursday night. I've not watched them at all this season because they were not even on the radar. But I think this is a good time to point out the ACC made the absolute right decision by getting rid of divisions, because otherwise it'd be Georgia Tech, North Carolina, or Duke most likely playing Florida State. And you would have a top 10 potentially college football playoff team missing out on their conference championship game because an unranked ACC team just happened to be in the right division. So shout out the ACC, the one good decision you guys have made in the longest time. So I haven't watched Louisville, so I don't want to speak on it too much. But thank goodness they're getting rid of divisions, even though it would be much easier for Florida State if they were playing a Georgia Tech. But maybe they potentially saved us playing a Drake May. So who knows what to say there?
Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of Louisville either, but I'm just telling you, if we go 12-0 into Charlotte, we're not losing. So there's that. Fun ones this weekend. I took the thing out. Oh, here we go. Michigan at Penn State. You going to take some more upsets, Richie? Penn State's a 4.5-point dog. The game is at Penn State. Man, a little offensive outburst this weekend against Maryland. You like Penn State to pull the upset? I saw Pate picked them. What do you like?
8 p.m. Whiteout. I'm taking them. Game's at noon. I do think that this is Michigan's first challenge of the season. Here's how I see this game playing out. I think Penn State gets off to a hot start. The crowd's going to be electric. And I think they might even have like a 10-13-point lead. I just think James Franklin has not won a big game like this before. Michigan sneaks out a really close game. I'll take Penn State to cover, but I think Michigan wins the game. I'm not feeling upsets on any of these so far.
Yeah, I think Michigan wins. Washington is a 9.5-point favorite against Utah. Utah's out at this point, but Washington's still holding on strong at number 5.
They can play spoiler, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I was talking with Coop about that. I think playing spoiler is overrated. Like, it's like a loser silver. I didn't want to say this to him, but it's like a loser silver line. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we suck, but maybe we can make you suck a little bit, too. Like, I don't know. I think that's kind of – I think it's a little overrated. But
Yeah, we're just Utah looking for potential really upsets.
Cam Rising, yeah. Cam Rising probably never coming back at this point. But can they keep it close?
I wouldn't be surprised if Utah covers it. And if this game was at Utah, I would absolutely take them. The spread wouldn't be 9.5. It'd probably be 7.5 at that point. But I think it's a fun game. Washington, then, like I said, they didn't score a single offensive touchdown to Arizona State. And then they just go off on other good teams like Oregon. I don't know what to think. I hate to steal it from game day, upset alert, but Washington probably wins.
I've got Washington in this one. Ole Miss got any chance of knocking off UGA?
No.
Nah, I don't think so either. I think that spread's interesting at only like 10.5.
But I thought it'd be more like 14.5, like the Florida State Miami game.
Oregon's a 17-point favorite, 16.5 against USC. Any thoughts that USC could do anything? I got a big no on that one.
So I'm going to disagree. If I'm going to call an upset, it's going to be this week. And I think this could be the end of Bo Nix's Heisman campaign. I'm not ready to call the upset, but I think this is a – I would take USC at 7.5 or less.
Well, get after it. You're calling the upset on the biggest one.
Yeah, by the spread. Like
on
I said,
the biggest spread.
You know, going into Outson's never easy, but I think Caleb Williams, he's heard everything about how, you know, he was crying in his mom's arms after this last game, which – you know, I get he does the fingernail things with some inappropriate stuff that people don't like, but that kid, NFL scouts will be watching this game because he's expected to be the number one NFL pick. He's not the reason of losing games. He's doing everything he can. I wonder if his teammates rally just for 1 week, right? We see that all the time in college football. You don't really see that in the NFL, but I think USC could win outright. I wouldn't put a lot of money in the money on the money line. I might put $20 on it because the payout is going to be decent.
I said this last week though with them. I think that there's a chance they could just play looser,
yeah,
and that could help them. But I said that last week and they got blown out. So,
all your season goals are gone. But let's just go get this. It's still a big game, so you still got up for it because you're like, you know, if I'm Lincoln Riley, I'm like, hey guys. You know how many NFL scouts are here to see Caleb and a lot of these guys on Washington and some of your other teammates? This is your chance to make some money. And if the kids buy into that, that's kind of what I'm banking on here. We'll see what happens.
I'm not too confident in it. So, all right, big shout out to Garnet & Gold. Use code NOSLAW. Make sure you come by the tailgate. Even if you're not getting a ticket and hanging out the whole time, come by and say hi. We're in lot 5 this time, changing up location a little bit. So come see us on Saturday. Plenty of alcohol, plenty of Guthries if you are getting a ticket and coming and hanging out. Shout out to Garnet & Gold, NOSLAW, no slaw. If you are ordering, get it for in-store pickup. Go by and pick it up before you go to the game. Harlan, what's your score prediction? Richie, let's get yours and let's get out of here.
Yeah, so I just have no idea. If this spread was 12.5 or 17.5, I wouldn't bet it. I don't know. I do think Miami comes out, plays somewhat inspired. If Florida State doesn't start quickly, you know, I think they could still win the game. Miami definitely could win the game, but I think it's closer than a lot of Florida State fans and experts think. I'm going to say 24-17, Florida State wins it, but it's a 24-10 game. Miami scores late. There's an onside kick for some drama, but Florida State recovers. And the game was never as close as the final score. But I think points will be at a premium this week, and I'm definitely going to bet the under in this game.
Harlan's got 31-27. I'm going to go a little bit more bold than both of you calling these close games. I'll go Mike Norvell absolutely knows that he has a chance to run it up with a pretty stacked recruiting list. In town, ready to go. I think that Miami falters in this game pretty bad. I wouldn't be surprised if it's close for a little while, but I like the Noles to win this. Give me 42-17. Oof. Yeah, I do think Florida State kind of piles it on late. I wouldn't be shocked at all by like a 17-point fourth quarter where, you know, maybe the game is, you know, like whatever that would be, right? Like 32 or something.
So, like last week when Florida State's up 24-17, Mike could have made that 31-17 easily, yeah. But he chose not to. Oh, yeah, this week his mentality is different.
This week.
And so, I would have last week if I were him.
I think you see them kind of run it up. Maybe it's 38-17 or something like that. But, yeah, 42-17. Oh, you know what? No love to Fitz there. Let's go 41-17. I'll get him kicking two field goals.
All right, I like it. I like it.
41-17, final thing. All right. That's all I got. You got any shout-outs, Richie? Let's get out of here before this thing glitches again.
Yeah, let's get out of Shelton from Miami, right? The Twitter fan. I don't know if you saw CBS Sports did a special on him. He's the Miami fan that dresses up in full Miami uniform. He does it for his brother. Go find it on my timeline. I quote tweeted it. It's just a phenomenal story. You know, in the spirit of rivalry week, let's all remember that, you know, yeah, we all want to kick our rivals' butts. But there's more important things. His name is Da 12th Man on Twitter, Da12th Man on Twitter. They just released a phenomenal special on CBS Sports about him and his brother. They'll be he's going to be there. Madso's taking care of him this weekend. Just welcome him. If you see a guy walking around in full Miami Hurricane uniform, tailgating at Madso in the stadium, don't make fun of him. Don't do anything like that. Look at his story first and just welcome him. Thank him for coming to Tallahassee and let him know that he truly is an inspiration.
I have nothing to be able to follow that up with. Shout out Richie. Shout out Harlan. And we'll see you guys on Saturday. Hey, I think we'll have a recruiting video that drops on Thursday. So that'll be tomorrow. If you're watching this on Thursday, go look for it on the page. If you haven't seen it yet, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. Appreciate you guys for tuning in tonight. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We're working on them, trying to diagnose and trying to get it fixed. But we will be back on Sunday live to talk about the Noles getting to 10-0 and making the streak against the Canes 3 straight. Love you guys. Go Noles.